Okay, Alexander, let's talk once again about Australia and China. And we've done a few videos on this, and we did a video on that cartoon. And the point that we were making was that there was a conflict brewing between China and Australia. It was obvious that something was happening between those two countries. And sure enough, here we are today, and it's escalated. We've had leaked lists of Chinese communist officials. That was, from what I understand, courtesy of Sky News Australia. I could be wrong, but I think it was Sky News Australia that got that list. And now we have a sort of a trade war in essence, heating up between Australia and China. What's going on? And all of this, started at the time when we did our video on what happened in Afghanistan and how China used what happened in Afghanistan to dig at Australia in a way. I mean, it was obvious there was tension building, and now it's coming to a head.
Absolutely. And just to quickly say, we are foreign policy realists. We look at the world as it is, and what we report is the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation in this case is that China and Australia are drifting apart, and they're drifting ever further apart. China has been imposing tariffs on Australian goods, on Australian coal, on Australian barley. These tariffs are not economic or commercial tariffs, as the Chinese are trying to say. They are a form of sanctions. They are trying to hurt the Australian economy, which became very closely involved in the China trade, because they don't like the political orientation that Australia is taking. Australia is an ally of the United States. It's an English-speaking country. It is culturally very close to the United States. Its political system is very integrated with those of the United States and Britain, and it is part of the Five Eyes Alliance. It would be extraordinary. It would be very, very remarkable if, in a situation where US-Chinese relations have been deteriorating, China did Australian Chinese relations did not follow suit also. But what has happened, and what makes this really remarkable, is the extent to which there is now real anger on both sides. You talked about the way in which the Australian Sky News leaked all that information about Chinese intelligence officials. But we now also have a situation where Australia is retaliating against these Chinese tariffs. And let me repeat again, these tariffs are really a form of sanctions that China is imposing on Australia. They are retaliating. The Australians are retaliating by bringing a case against China to the World Trade Organization. And the Chinese don't like it at all. And there have been a whole series of angry commentaries about this in the Chinese media, including the English language media, the Chinese English language media, notably Global Times, which is the overseas voice of the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party. So that's what's happening. Now, you can argue about who's more to blame in this situation. My own view is that this is inevitable. But again, what was not inevitable was the anger, the level of anger that we see in these events. And I can't help but think that most of this anger ultimately comes from China, because the Chinese had persuaded themselves wrongly that Australia had become so invested in its trade relations with China, that it would never, never act in a way that might compromise them. And I think the Chinese feel extremely angry, and I think some of that anger is obviously directed at Australia. But I suspect that at some level, some of that anger is directed at themselves for getting Australia so completely wrong. But if they'd been realistic, they would have realized that these other, that both Australia and that other English-speaking country, Britain, that they thought they'd forged very close relationships with during the Obama years, Australia and Britain, ultimately as Five Eyes partners of the United States, as English-speaking countries, as long-standing allies of the United States, going all the way back to the Second World War, if it came to a quarrel between China and the US, they will choose the US every time. And that is the reality. It's a reality perhaps the Chinese did not expect. And now what we see is the economic partnership between China and Australia, into which both sides had committed, is starting to unravel and is unraveling fast.
All right. So the once again, the basic question that needs to be asked, the most obvious question is, should Trump keep the White House? Obviously, we understand the trajectory of the relationship between the U.S. and China, and also between Australia and China. We understand where it's going. A divorce, maybe it's an amicable divorce. Most likely, it's going to be a messy divorce. But should we continue on the current trajectory that we are on, and you have a Biden administration come January 20th, does the relationship between Australia and China change, given the fact that the Biden administration and the Biden family is so closely aligned with China? And that is not a secret either. In many, many ways, they are closely aligned with China. And I actually just heard, I hear rumors that the United States is thinking of appointing Bob Iger of Disney as ambassador to China, and he's very, very friendly with China. So does the relationship between China and Australia change course? Should we continue on this path of a Biden presidency? Because the Trump administration, we know that Trump is going to challenge China, and that would mean that Australia would also probably, it looks like Australia will also challenge China, but that could change come January 20th.
It could very well change. And of course, as you correctly say, there are lots of people in the Biden administration and Biden himself who have longstanding connections to China, who is still very heavily invested in the policies of the Clinton and Obama presidencies, which is to seek as close a relationship with China as possible. Now, there are problems with that, though. Firstly, the political narrative in the United States about China has changed completely. And I think there are many, many more people in the United States that are critical of China than there were at the time when Obama and especially Clinton were in the White House. So if Biden tries to change the policy in that direction, he will run into a great deal of opposition. And of course, the other thing is he is perhaps so well known for being so close to China, perhaps even he is known for being compromised by China, that he might actually be vulnerable to attack by the Republicans on precisely that issue. And that might temper any steps by the United States towards reforging a relationship with China of the sort that existed in the 1990s and under Obama. So we have to be careful in assuming that this is all going to be completely reversed. But let's assume it is. Let's say the United States under Biden reverts to the Obama period, and we see a new, I won't say strategic relationship with China, but at least the kind of quiet competition that we saw with Obama's pivot to Asia, in which the United States makes some feeble military steps to try and contain China, but at the same time, simultaneously engages with it, tries to keeps the economic links open, tells itself, well, all will be all right with China in the end. And we saw how China is able to build and take advantage of that. Let's say we get to that situation. I think at that point, Australia will change its policies also, and it will try again to do what the United States does. It will try at that point to forge closer relations with China again. The question then will be whether China will let it. And my sense is that the Chinese are now so affronted by Australia's decision to stand up to them that they will be much more reluctant to get close to Australia again. And I think this decision by Australia to go to the World Trade Organization has annoyed the Chinese intensely and will not be forgotten. So it may be that, you know, the United States will be able to get back on good terms with China. It may be that China is not so willing to get back into good terms with Australia if Australia tries to follow suit. I'm going to add something else, by the way, that with China and Russia now forging this strategic partnership, many, not all, of the things that China buys from Australia, it could probably get from Russia. So it doesn't need Australia as a partner to the same degree anymore. So that may be also part of the calculations one needs to consider.
Okay. Real quick, where does that leave the Australian economy in 2021?
It will adjust. I mean, like all economies, it's gone through some very difficult periods, but it's essentially a very wealthy country, very well run, and it's got strong natural resources and a highly educated people. It will adjust. It will go through a difficult patch. Some people will lose, but bear something in mind. It may lose its economic links with China, which are hugely important. But, you know, there's another old ally, Britain, that may need to forge closer links with Australia again because it's leaving the European Union, apparently. And, and anyway, I can't help but think that the kind of resources that Australia exports will always be in demand. I expect, by the way, at some point, even the Chinese will start buying them again. At least some, maybe not on the same scale, but they'll be buying them again. So Australia will not just survive, it will eventually prosper. Of that, I have no doubt.
Okay. All right. Interesting story. We will leave it there. Guys, if you like this video, click on that subscribe button down below. Please help us out on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar, as well as Bitcoin. You will find those links down below as well. And look for us on BitChute, on Odyssey, and we are now on Rumble. You will find those links down below. Also, go to Patriotic Legacy as well. Pick up a Patriotic Legacy Beacon 3, the Swiss Army knife of flashlights. It does everything. You will find a link down below for the Patriot Beacon 3 with a Duran20 code. If you put that code Duran20 at checkout, you will get 20% off your purchase and automatically be entered into the contest to win a blue camouflage Patriot Beacon 3 and a Duran t-shirt as well. So if you enter the code Duran20, you get 20% off, and you're entered into a contest to win a free Patriot Beacon 3 camouflage and a free Duran shirt. And of course, the Duran shirt means the Duran shop, where you can pick up all kinds of great merchandise. That link is down below as well.
Absolutely, and amazing merchandise. We've got our wonderful Duran mugs. This is the Duran mug with our own logo there that you can see, our own symbol, our double-headed eagle, which is not, by the way, the Byzantine or Russian one. It is our own double-headed eagle. It points to the east and the west. We're able to keep an eye on what goes on all over the world. And we've just shown that on this program. But you can find the flags of many countries on our mugs. You can find the flag of Greece, for example, which I've also been drinking my very strong coffee that I usually start the day with before I switch to tea. So you can find our mugs. You can find our amazing shirts. You can see that I'm wearing a new shirt, amazing new shirt, long-sleeved T-shirt with the flag of the Republic of Korea. There you can see with the yin-yang symbol. And you can also find amazing short-sleeve T-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and stickers and hats like this one. This has the flag of Great Britain on our shop. You can support us by buying these marvelous things from our shop. And please also remember to come to our various other platforms, as Alex said, to support us via Patreon and Subscribestar and PayPal, and also to join us on our Discord server. So support us as you can. Go to our shop and come to our next broadcast.
All right, Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.